strings and buttons in the booth. What we heard there was a new track from St. Vincent from the album Born Screaming, which sounded pretty in line with what we had there. A lot of noise, a lot of screaming. That was Flea, seventh album. That's actually due out, I think, on Friday. So it's super fresh. And for those of you who have been out and about in town, you do know that the Calgary Underground Film Festival is currently upon us. It's running until this Sunday. It started April 18th. Tons of offbeat films make it to this festival every year. It's in its 21st iteration. And I'm joined today by a director of a film that screens tonight and Sunday. That is perhaps maybe one of my favorite types of films, documentary, that looks at the artwork and the artist behind a lot of the art that shaped the formative years of skateboard culture down in Santa Cruz, California. Art and Life, it's called, the story of Jim Phillips, and I'm joined this morning by the director, John Makins. He's also directed films Red Bull, The Game Breaker from 2012, as well as Water to Wine 2004. Morning, John. How are you doing?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for making the trip all the way up from San Diego to Calgary. It's always a little bit of extra work to bring people up to the Blue Sky City. We're doing a little contest here on a new slogan for the city, and the city just changed it to Blue Sky City, and people are kind of not really sure. Maybe it's good. What do you think? Would you like? So you've come. You said before you come here for snowboarding trips.
Yeah.
Does this like coming from San Diego? Does this like maybe change the equation now, or make it more enticing? That we're now the Blue Sky City?
I see, yeah, it could be enticing. I've spent probably the past 10 years coming up here every winter, and I don't think I've seen too much blue sky here, but I do like the name.
It is, like, the statisticians would have us believe that it is blue sky often here, but, like, I've seen blue sky in other cities too, so it's also kind of, I don't know. But I want to talk to you about the film and the artist Jim Phillips. I guess starting off on this adventure of making this film, why did you want to tell the story of Jim Phillips?
Yeah, I grew up skateboarding as a young kid, and I was always surrounded by Jim's art. My first skateboards, all over the magazines, and not even really knowing who he was at that time, you know, just immersed in it. And, you know, it just kind of shaped my passion for art, I guess. And that was like something I was like always trying to draw and replicate and whatever, sitting in school, like drawing those graphics. And later on, I ended up starting to work with Jim, doing some graphic work for this other company that I started, and got to know him on a nice, you know, personal level and friendship, and we ended up doing some sort of kind of like webisode interview things, and he was just sort of like amazing on camera, had these like great stories, and it just kind of dawned on me like no one really knows who this guy is, but like everyone knows his art. It's everyone has seen it before, whether they know it or not. And it would just be like a really cool story to tell, to make a, you know, documentary on him. So I asked him like, hey, would you be interested in doing a documentary? And he was, at first he was kind of like, why would anyone want to, you know, do a documentary about me? Like, I don't think anyone would be interested in that. And I was like, I think a lot of people will, you know, like, so we decided to do it. And, you know, there it is.
Are you a skateboarder yourself?
Yeah. Yes.
So this is also maybe or was it a bit of a nostalgia project as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, like skateboarding shaped my life and just kind of, you know, all the friends I know and traveling I've done and just all the influences, all the people I look up to are mostly skateboarders, a lot of the artists. So it's I feel like it, you know, it's just been such a huge part of my life and big influence. And I think a lot of people feel the same way about his art. And from a lot of the feedback of people who've seen the film, you know, have had that same reaction. So,
and let's introduce the art a little bit, because not everyone, like you're saying, and there's even a quote in the film, Jimmy was probably the most famous artist that nobody ever knew. Everyone's seen his art, but no one necessarily associates it with the artist. And maybe the most prolific image he drew was the screaming blue hand, like with a mouth in it. I guess how do you describe his art to people who maybe haven't seen it before, have seen it, but
he's very, it's kind of cartoony. Very like clean key lines, and his art is made for like reproduction, so it's easy to recreate on and print the printing process, and it's complex, but it's like very simplified at the same time. And it has you know, I mean, he's like was born in 44, so he's older now. But he grew up through his art was very present through like the 70s and 80s, and during that time it was kind of like edgy, you know, like eye popping, like gory, and eyeballs popping out. And so like during that time it was like, whoa, like kind of, you know, people didn't really see that before, for art on skateboards. So he kind of like started that movement, you know. Mm-hmm.
And from watching the film, you really get the sense that he was kind of in the right place at the right time to like plug in to this movement. Can you talk a little bit about sort of like how that happened or came about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He, you know, became friends with the guys who started Santa Cruz, and they were having, you know, their brands were taking off and the boom of skateboarding at that time, and they needed a lot of art and graphics, and Jim was he was there, and he was like doing the, you know, the most creative things at that time, and just It was like clicking, it was working, and people were loving it, and it just like just built this big, you know, snowball machine that just kept going and going.
In the film you show sort of pages of the catalogs or sort of archives of the skateboards, and it's like it's an entire like series or like archive of all that, just piles and piles of art that they were cranking out and just silk screening onto these skateboards as it was blowing up.
Yeah.
I guess how did you incorporate that artwork in the documentary? Because I think it was done really well, and it felt like it was kind of coming to life in the film, or like interacting in the different scenes.
Yeah, he just has a massive volume of art, you know, through his entire life, and one of his big dreams is to see his art like animated and come to life. So we took most of his art and animated it. So there's a lot of, you know, time and hours put into creating the animation for each piece.
Is that like computer done now, or
yeah. Yeah, we had a great animator named Daniel Zverev and then a couple other guys, but he did a really good job, just bringing it to life. It's so cool to see, like, because, like, you look at just a still image and you can imagine, you know, you feel the emotion of it, but then to, like, have someone animate it and kind of bring it that next, you know, level, is really cool. I think it adds a whole nother element to his art.
It definitely made it made the film very engaging and entertaining, and sort of brought you into that imagination. That I think that's another thing that's touched on in the film, is you had to have a very special imagination to draw these things or to think of these things. There's certainly like an inflection point in the film where Jim like learns the news that he has an untreatable cancer. Was that something that sort of happened midway through filming? How did that really come about? And what did you go through to sort of figure out how to work that into the film or what to do?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big challenge and, surprise. And that was kind of when we first started the film, Jim found, that was like right when he found out that he had cancer. So through the whole process of making the film, he was going through his battle, and I was very, you know, close in contact with him, getting all the updates through the whole thing. So it was quite the roller coaster ride. He's actually doing really good now. He's tried every sort of clinical trial and drug that they've had, and he finally found one that's been working, and he's at this point, like, so they gave him 6 years, and then it's now been 13, and he just did this trial, and he's completely 100% cancer free right now, which is, he's the first person for this type of cancer he has to ever do that, which is pretty amazing. He just sent me an email last night with his like results, and it's like
amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
What do you think after kind of going through, you know, his whole story and diving into it, and actually I didn't even touch on it yet, but you talked to a lot of people in this film, including Neil Young, who used him for an album cover. What can we say now has been the impact on skateboarding culture, and also acknowledging that skateboarding culture has had a big impact on like mainstream culture over the years. And to think of that if it had actually been someone else's artwork on the boards, all these years, how that might have just like changed the course of everything. What, in speaking with all these different people, I guess, what's the overall sentiment on his lasting impact?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of his art is just, it's become iconic and, you know, stood the test of time, and it's lasted so long, and it's now kind of being reintroduced to new generations, like younger kids and people who haven't seen it before. And it's cool. Like, people gravitate to it now, and they learn about it, and then it's like, oh, well, he did that, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And it's just had this lasting impact. I think it's timeless, you know. It's like the true definition of iconic. Not even, as you mentioned, like through skateboarding, but also his rock poster art, his surf art, his he did like hot rod motorcycle art, and everything. He just has this like unique style that is just timeless and iconic.
Very cool. Well, it was certainly an eye-opening film, and really enjoyable to dive into his story and and connect sort of the images of a lot of his different artworks that I had seen before into sort of this broader story and this impression that he's left. So a great documentary. I understand you're going to be in attendance tonight, and there's going to be a Q&A after the film.
Yes. Yep. I'll be there tonight, 7 p.m. at the Globe Cinema.
Globe Cinema, Stephen Avenue downtown or 8th Ave, and between 5th and 6th Street. Tickets still available. Looking over to the cuff, folks. Tickets are still available. It's also showing on Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Globe. So you can check it out, CalgaryUndergroundFilm.org. Also, if you'd like to win a pair of tickets to the screening, you can text the booth, 403-220-3991, to a pair to the first fast texter who puts their hand up. John, thanks again for joining us, and congratulations on the film, and I hope it's a lot of fun tonight.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Once again, I've been chatting with director John Makins behind the film Art and Life, the story of Jim Phillips, playing tonight and Sunday at the Calgary Underground Film Festival.